Blog Talk Radio.
Let's go. Ain't no room for hesitation up in here. It's time to leave it on the field. Because it's game time. It's time to make your hard work pay off. Make your mom and dad proud. Make your opponent pay the price. It's time to step up and get it done, son. You go hard or you go home. From the first whistle to the last. Bring it all day, every play. Because you know your boy is going to put on the line for you. They got your back, so you better have theirs. This is about the team. It's about pride. It's about who's the hungriest. So what's it going to be, man? You going to leave it on the field, or you going to leave it inside? You going to leave it or something in your tank? Or you going to do what champions do? Leave nothing.
I'm the hottest, he's jumping out the coffee pot. Man, I'm just trying to get my spot like a polka dot. Lil' juice make my eyes and my shoulders dry. Lil' sir, and I can make a soda pop. Keep talking.
Do it this way here. Ladies and gentlemen, it's me, Mr. FSP. Welcome to the Master Plan. I'm sitting in for JT Money. JT is at Fantasy Fest 2012 or something like that in Atlantic City, where the likes of Carl Banks, Joe Theismann, Joe Namath, and some other folks are going to be there just doing the fantasy thing. It's a two-day event. It started on yesterday, the 18th, August 18th, and it concludes today, August 19th. Jerry's going to be calling in live from the event, and we're going to have some fun today because Mr. FSP's in the building, and we're going to go over individual defensive players. That's IDPs, okay? IDPs. Hold on. I think I got JT Money right now. Let me check and see. Call 6732. Would this be JT ATM Money?
Yes, it is. I'm on my way to Atlantic City. I'm almost there, so.
All right. I just told the folks that you're going to be headed to this event. So before we get started in today's show, tell the folks that are in the area, in the Atlantic City area, and listening, what this event is about. Some people that's going to be there, not all of them, because I know it's like 30 people. And what it is you're going to be doing?
What I'm going to be doing is this is a fantasy football fest, two-day event, Atlantic City, at the Atlantic City Convention Center. I'm going to be perusing the fest to give a on-the-spot, tell you what's going on. There's going to be several sports celebrities, analysts, fantasy football, so-called experts also there. So I'll have to play it by ear when I get there, and then I'll just give you on the spot what's going on.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Works for me because I see the show's only set for 59 minutes and 59 seconds. So with that said, JT, go get to work, Slim.
I'll do that, and I'll be calling you back. I just wanted to call in and say hello, and I'll be calling you back.
All right, buddy. Well,
all
ladies
right.
And gentlemen, JT's going to call us back. He's, as you said, live in Atlantic City, headed to the Atlantic City Convention Center where this Fantasy Fest will be taking place. If you're in the area, check it out. It might be worth your while, especially if you're a fantasy football junkie like we are. And Jerry has had a theme over the past several weeks about breaking down fantasy football players, which is something that we do a lot. I'm going to take you to the defensive side of the ball, and we're going to break down defensive linemen, linebackers, and DBs, okay? Now, we all know that, you know, last year's best defensive teams were the 49ers and even the Eagles at the end. Some people might not have known that, but the Eagles and the Texans and some prizes where the Steelers weren't in the top 10. But we're going to break down individual players because not necessarily are every player or is every player worth your while just because they're on that team. For instance, Ray Lewis is an outstanding player, but he's not in the top 10 linebackers of IDPs. Big name, big hits, does a lot of things, but he should not be your first linebacker taken if you're in a league that does IDPs, which we do. Now, in our leagues, we do tackles, assisted tackles, interceptions, fumble recoveries, defensive touchdowns, and also we combine with a total defense as well. But for those that just do strictly IDPs, we're going to get started with a defensive lineman, okay? Defensive lineman, I'm going to give you the top 15 defensive linemen, and then we're going to go into the top 15 linebackers, top 15 D-backs. If you want to get into the conversation, by all means, you can dial the number 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. And we have our chat room open. All you got to do is go to blogtalkradio.com/VICHVK, and you can jump in on the chat. First, you got to sign in, okay? Sign in, and then you can go ahead and post something on the chat room. I'll toggle back and forth to make sure I get your comments in there. Well, let's get into it, okay? Defensive linemen. We all hear the name JPP, New York Football Giants, Jason Pierre-Paul. Last year, he was the number one rated defensive lineman. He had 66 total solo sacks, 86 total, excuse me, not sacks, I'm sorry, 66 solo tackles, 86 total tackles, 16 and a half sacks. He forced two fumbles. He defended seven passes. Now, he's not just an elite pass rusher, but JPP also has linebacker range against the run. So JPP can rush your quarterback and get you sack fumbles, sack fumble recoveries, things of that nature, as well as drop back and possibly get your pass defense, and if he gets his hands right, get an interception. Now, he didn't even have the best sack numbers, but right now he's rated number one. Why? He's young. He's on a defense that has a high motor set of defensive linemen. O.C. Manure is there, Justin Tuck, and JPP, and they call this group the NASCAR group because it's nothing but speed rushers. And JPP plays on the outside when they do this speed rush defense. Let's go to the number two defensive lineman that I think you should target when you go into fantasy drafts, and that would be the old mullet-wearing Fu Manchu guy, likes to go camping and shooting deer with his crossbow, Jared Allen. Now you might say, why do I want Jared Allen? He's on a decrepit defense. Again, remember I said at the top of the show, some of the defenses that ranked top in the NFL last year didn't have all the individual players on it that made it. They were just collective by interception and stuff like that. Jared Allen played on a very bad Minnesota Vikings defense. He'll play there again with Williams brothers no longer there. They're building or rebuilding that defense. Jared Allen last year managed 22 sacks. 22 sacks. He had 47 solo tackles, 65 total tackles, 4 forced fumbles, 3 pass defense, and 1 interception. Okay? Jared's only 30 years old, and he makes another run for the sack record. He actually stated that he feels as though he can get Strahan's record. Strahan got it from Mark Gastineau. A little history there, if you did not know. But, again, with his speed and his ability, I believe Jared Allen could be the next all-time NFL leading sack master. Now, remember, they didn't keep sack records up until, I believe, 83. It was 81, somewhere in that area. But you had a lot of folks that probably had more sacks in a year than Strahan did. I can recall there's a guy that was played for the New York Jets. He had 15 sacks in one game. One game. but they didn't keep the sack records back then, okay? We're going to transition to the number three rated defensive lineman in my book. Now, Mario Williams excelled at the 3-4 in Houston. However, he felt a little bit more comfortable in the 4-3. Hence, he left Houston and went to Buffalo. Buffalo went back to a 4-3, and Mario looks to manage his time with the young kid out of Alabama at D-tackle and a couple other great defensive linemen up there. They're saying he's going to be the next Bruce Smith for Buffalo. It is possible. He's coming off an injury that ended his year last year. But he's healthy again and will move back to his normal 4-3 spot in Buffalo. Last year, in limited duty now, I believe two or three games, he had 10 solo tackles, 11 total tackles, 5 sacks, 1 forced fumble, and 1 pass defense. Now, you got to remember, Buffalo last year, at the beginning of the year, led the league in turnovers and sacks. The correlation was they also had a strong running game, so teams had to pass on them. Fred Jackson was doing well, therefore, when Fred Jackson did well, the receivers did well. Fitzpatrick did well. They were able to throw the ball. The defense were able, defensive linemen were able to pull back their ears and just rush, and get to the quarterback. They hope to do the same thing this year with Fred Jackson returning. And the correlation is Mario Williams can come off the edge and kill the quarterback. And he can also chase down the running back. So I look for his numbers to be maybe in the high 70s as far as total tackles, maybe 15, 16 total sacks. But I have him ranked at number 3. Now, the first big surprise I have at, in my top 10, and if you follow IDPs, you would probably be like, well, maybe you're right. I have Jabal Sherrard from the Browns, okay? He's an undersized guy. He's only 255 pounds, but he's a speed rusher who also can stop the run. Now, you're saying 255 pounds, that's a linebacker. Well, remember, in the Browns scheme, they have a 3-4, so he's coming off the end, and he's more of a DeMarcus Ware type of player. Only at 255. Last year's stats for this guy was 40 solo tackles, 55 total tackles, 8.5 sacks, 5 forced fumbles, and 2 pass defense. Okay? He forced 5 fumbles on a Cleveland Brown defense that was not bad. Cleveland's issue was their offense. And hopefully Brandon Weeden and Trent Richardson, along with Greg Little, can change that. But I have Jabal Sherrard, Browns defensive lineman, ranked number 4. We're going to go to number 5 here, Trent Cole of the Eagles. He had 41 solo tackles, 44 total tackles, 11 sacks, 1 forced fumble, 1 pass defense. Now, again, he's on the opposite side of Jason Babin, so he might get more sacks coming up, because people are going to try to focus more on Jason Babin. And Cole, he's good against the run, so his tackle numbers will go up a bit. But with Jason Babin on the other side, look for him to have more one-on-ones and able to beat those one-on-ones and grab more sacks. He had 11 last year. Let's go down to his partner here, who I have at number 6. That'll be Jason Babin. Last year, he had 35 solo tackles, 40 total tackles, but of those tackles, 18 of them were sacks. 18. And he had 3 forced fumbles and 1 pass defense. He proved in 2010 he was no fluke, a monster in Philly's wide 9 scheme. Again, they had to buy into that wide 9 scheme. The whole defense came alive towards the end of the season, and the Eagles didn't do too bad. But I flip-flop Jason Babin and Trent Cole because I think Trent Cole will be able to take full advantage of the double teams Jason Babin will get this year. Again, they bought into the system, so it should be pretty good. Now we bring in another old guy but who still has a great motor, astounding motor. Yesterday against the Redskins in the preseason game, he recovered a fumble on RG3 did not have a good game at all. And Julius Peppers and that Bears defensive line stepped up. Rod Marinelli has that defense jumping and pumping, and Julius Peppers is a big part of it. He had NFL best 23 hurries, and he was the main cog in Chicago's defensive line. He had 33 solo tackles, 37 total tackles, again, 11 sacks, 3 forced fumbles, 4 pass defense, okay? 4 pass defense. Now, we're going to move on to a guy that a lot of people are saying, you know, is a sleeper for the defensive ends. And I really think he is because he has the potential to be a very, very productive lineman. Cameron Wembley, okay? Cameron Wembley of the Titans. He's finally a full-time defensive end. Wembley is poised for a breakout year. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Wembley was with the Miami Dolphins, and he moved to Tennessee, where they're going to put him at a defensive end position and have a great, great time just rushing the ball. He doesn't drop back in coverage. He can just rush the pass, and he's pretty good at it, pretty good at it. Last year he had 52 solo tackles, 63 total tackles, 7 sacks. Again, he played DN slash linebacker, outside linebacker, 3 pass defense, and 1 interception. Okay? I kind of like these hybrid defensive end slash linebackers because they give you more opportunity to rush the passer as well as drop back and make interceptions or get in pass coverage. They're just purely not pass rushers. His numbers might go down a little bit as far as total tackles because they're going to use him strictly as a defensive end, but we'll see. At number 9, going back to a regular 4-3, now, Elvis Dumervil in Denver, it might not be a good move for Elvis Dumervil. They used him as a DN slash linebacker, again, a hybrid type of linebacker slash DN like a Lawrence Taylor. He prospered in that scheme. With John Fox there in Denver, you know he's going to want to implement his style of defense, and Denver going back to a 4-3 might not be a smooth transition. That's why Dumervil is at number 9 on my list. He's a very productive guy coming off the end. They might do some zone blitzing with him, whereas he might look like he's rushing and drops back because he has some experience there. But Elvis Dumervil last year had 31 solo tackles, 42 total tackles, 9.5 sacks, 1 pass defense. His big finish in 2011 with 9.5 sacks in the final 9 games points to a huge 2012. Yeah, all of his sacks in the last 9 games. So that was a sack and what? And a ninth every game for the last 9 games. Again, that was a 3-4. They were experimenting. But with that kid on the opposite side, you know, the defensive rookie of the year on the opposite side, it's going to be hard for him to get some sacks. It's going to be hard. But we'll see what happens. It should do well for him. Number 10, and I mixed this up, I'm sorry. Cameron Wembley was not with the Dolphins. I was thinking about Cameron Wake. See, Cameron and Cameron, different spellings, though. Cameron Wake I have at number 10. He moves back to a 4-3 DN after NFL leading 43.5 knockdowns and hurries. Again, a guy that can be used as a DN and linebacker. If you notice, a lot of my top 10 players are those types of players because of what they can bring to the table. But Mr. Cameron Wake had 37 total solo tackles, 42 total tackles, 9.5 sacks, and 42 total tackles, 8.5 sacks, and 2 pass defense. Now, to a young guy that I think is very, very good, and he has a full-time role now in Detroit, and he had a bit of a holdout, not really, but I'm talking about Cliff Avril, Detroit Lions. He's a very good pass rusher. He's going to be a full-time defensive lineman or slash DN guy. He had 29 solo, 36 total, 11 sacks, 6 fumble forced, 4 pass defense, 1 interception, and 2 touchdowns. That's one heck of a stat line. That's one heck of a stat line. Hey, Cal Patty. Cal Pope. I got you, brother. I see you in the chat room. Yeah, it's that type of guy that excites me. Cliff Averill is a guy that you might have higher up in your draft line if you're looking for defensive linemen, because the kid had a monster stat year. Monster. 6 forced fumbles, 4 pass defense, 1 interception, 2 touchdowns, 11 sacks. I'll take that. I'll take that. And a guy that's dropping a little bit because I'm going to say because of the team he's on, but if you put this guy on a different team with a good defensive tackle and another decent DN, and I know that St. Louis is trying to do that, but Chris Long, who I have at number 12, you know, he had a decent year, 31 solo, 37 total, 13 sacks, 1 forced fumble, 2 pass defense. The kid has a motor like his dad and is able to cut the edge. He got 13 sacks on a bad team. You know, give him some time. You know, if they blitz like they did last year with the DBs they have this year, they might do some damage. Chris Long might do more than what he did last year. Take a look at that, and we'll see if he deserves to be moved up higher. At number 13, I have the old guy who did this in a part-time role, okay? Mostly human urine. He's stuck in a part-time role unless his trade wish is finally granted, which it will not be. He signed a new contract with the New York Giants. OC had 16 solo tackles, 25 total tackles, 9 of which were sacks. So more than half of his solo tackles were sacks. 2 forced fumbles and 1 pass defense. Okay? Very productive. Very, very, very productive. And I have a teammate who is kind of injury prone, but I think he's going to do well this year. Again, it's Justin Tuck. JT had 27 solo tackles, 37 total tackles, 5 sacks, 1 forced fumble, and 3 pass defense. Very good player. I think he'll do well this year in that NASCAR. But JPP is doing a lot of the damage. That's why I have him number one. I have 3 Giants in my top 15. 3 Giants in the top 15. I'm just telling you, it's not going to change. It's not going to change. Okay? Then I have at number 15, I have Chris Clemens of the Seahawks, back-to-back 11 sack seasons as Pete Carroll's elephant pass rusher. Chris Clemens had 34 solo, 51 total, 11 sacks, 3 forced fumbles, 5 pass defense. Again, another guy that was a linebacker, converted to DN, and excelled at it, and can do both, drop back in the pass, as well as rest the quarterback. I have a couple honorable mentions I want to get to. Justin Smith, even though I didn't put him in my top 15 this year, he's somebody you can look forward to, especially in that 3-4 defense. Also, Calais Campbell of the Cardinals. This guy did very well, 53 solo, 72 total, 8 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, 10 pass defense, and 1 interception. So I want to give those guys a little love. And only because I don't know if he'll be able to duplicate his year last year, a distinguished honorable mention, I have J.J. Watts. Okay, J.J. had 49 solo, 56 total, 5.5 sacks, and 4 pass defense. But those are my top 15 defensive linemen with a few honorable mentions in there that you might want to look at if you're doing some defensive linemen IDPs, okay? Now, some of those, again, some of those guys can be used at linebacker if you are playing in a system or on a site that allows that to take place. Calais Williams and Clemens, linebackers / DN. Just think about it. We had JT on the line. JT just stepped off the line. But we're going to transition to the linebackers, since we're talking about lines. Now, I told you that Ray Lewis is one of those guys that everybody wants, everybody loves, because Ray Ray makes impactful plays. But Ray Ray isn't a top 10 linebacker. Sure, he makes great plays. Sure, he does a lot of great things. But I have a list right here that has him outside of the top 10. Let's go down that list, okay? Now, this guy has done it since he's been in the league from day one. He's been a Pro Bowler every year, even as a rookie. And it shouldn't come as no surprise, but Patrick Willis heads my number one linebacker to pick up in fantasy football this year. 74 solo, 97 total, 2 sacks, 4 forced fumbles, 12 pass defense, 1 interception. Now, you might say that isn't the best line. It sounds like Ray Lewis's line. And it does. But with that 3-4, stepping up with Harbaugh doing what he did last year, I look for his numbers to get even better. Even better this year. Okay? Then I turn to number 2, Desmond Bishop. Bishop is a tackling machine who also blitzes more often than most inside linebackers. Okay? Bishop is one of those guys that you can just, well, you'll give me a good 4 or 5 tackles a game. So if you go 1 point per tackle, that's 5 easy points that you can bank on every game. Bishop had 90 solo tackles, 115 total, 5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, 1 pass defense. Now, a guy that a lot of people don't even know about, again, because he plays on Cleveland, is Dequill Jackson. Okay? He is not that durable. That's part of the problem. He isn't that durable. But he's one of those guys, if you get a chance to pick him up, pick him up. 116 solo tackles, 158 total tackles, 3.5 sacks, 1 forced fumble, 3 pass defense, and 1 interception. But, you know, he can do it. He did it in 60 games last year. Right now we have JT, ATM, Taylor on the line, and he's got a lot of stuff going on in the background. So, Barry, and give us your live report, JT.
Well, I'm sitting in the middle of the Fantasy Football Fest, and there's a lot of displays on different websites and vendors that are fantasy football. I'm looking at 2 fine ladies from Hooters that just passed me.
Oh
my God.
Focus on the football, guy. Stop looking at the Hooters girls.
That Hooters are part of it. I'm looking at a couple of another young ladies that are part of the fantasy football.
Come on, fantasy football, not the ladies. Fantasy football here.
Well, that's all fantasy. That's all about fantasy too. It's just it's a different type of fantasy. I'm looking at a lot of different booths. Probably a lot of things that people aren't familiar with, like DraftStreet.com, Big Time Fantasy Sports, FJ Fantasy Sports, a lot of these that I'm not familiar with at all, that I don't know about, but that I'm going to peruse, and probably try to get a little bit more information about these GridironGod.com, Power Play Fantasy Sports, FanDuel. There's a lot of things going on, plus a live live forum, I guess, that they're going over different positions in the fantasy football draft. But I'm not exactly sure who the four commentators are. Probably going to get up there closer to get a better idea who these guys are. On the agenda today, for who's supposed to be here from 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock will be Phil Sims along with Keith Byers. 12:30 to 2:30 will be Joe Theismann. And this ends at 3 o'clock, and 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock, Hall of Famer Chris Dolman would be here.
All right, great. Now, what you need to do, here's your assignment. You need to find out how we can get a booth for next year.
Okay.
That's what you need to do. So you and Jeff, or you and Black, can go to it next year, and we can give our 2 cents, and we can broadcast live from the event.
Okay.
So that's your mission, okay?
Should I choose to accept it? Is that right?
Well, there's no choosing in this case. It will self-destruct if you do not accept the mission.
Unfortunately, I missed my boy yesterday. I should have came down here yesterday because with Sean McCoy and Michael Vick and Joe Montana, it was a star-filled yesterday. Otis Anderson, Jim Kelly, Brian Dawkins, Lawrence Taylor, Michael Vick, LeSean McCoy, and Joe Montana were here yesterday.
Wow, yeah, you missed the boat then, buddy.
Yes, I missed a very good one yesterday. I couldn't choose between yesterday and today, and I chose today. And unfortunately, I think I got the short end of the stick. So.
Hey, it's okay. It's okay. You still got some Hall of Famers there. So enjoy. Again, find out if we can get a booth and what process we have to go through. Enjoy yourself.
Okay.
Get some autographs and grab as much information as you can so you can talk about it on Thursday and Saturday show.
Okay.
All right.
Yep.
Thanks
for
calling
in, man.
Buddy.
No problem.
All right.
Take care.
Bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was JT ATM, the master, calling in from Atlantic City's Convention Center where they're doing the Fantasy Fest, or Fantasy Festival, let me say it fully, reporting live from there. He's going to get an opportunity to talk to Chris Dolman and some other folks, Joey T, Joe Theismann, and other folks there. So hopefully he'll call back before the show's over. If not, we'll have a wrap-up on this upcoming Thursday's program, FSP Crew Show, and then we'll also talk about it again on Fantasy Sports and Politics on Saturday. But let's get back to the list. I left off with DeQuil Jackson at number 3. He had 116 solo tackles. 116 solo tackles, ladies and gentlemen. Solo tackles. And 158 total tackles, 3.5 sacks, 1 forced fumble, 3 pass defense, and 1 interception. And this kid is rarely looked at as being a top linebacker. That's amazing. I try to get him every time, like, lower in the draft because people don't know about him. Sometimes you can find him on waivers because folks just don't look for him because he gets injured. But when he's playing, he's all over the field. Number 4, I have Darryl Washington of the Cardinals. He did a pretty good thing. He's undersized. He's only 230 pounds, but he covers like a DB. So he's not going to be your monster hitter, but he's going to cover ground. I think he's going to throw on a little bit more weight before the season, but he's an inside linebacker. So he's going to be getting pounded and making a lot of tackles for the Cardinals. Last year he had 94 solo tackles, 106 total, 5 sacks, 7 pass defense, and 2 interceptions. Pretty good steal. I wouldn't pick him at number as my 4th one overall, but I have him ranked as the 4th best linebacker. I would actually pick my number 7 guy or my number 6 guy, number 4, but let's go to number 5. And again, another man who excels on a very bad team is James Laurinaitis. He has more than 310 total tackles in his career since 2009. Okay? 210. That's amazing. Last year he had 105 solo tackles, 142 total tackles, 3 sacks, 7 pass defense, and 2 interceptions. What that says is he gets his hands on the ball a lot. That's 9 times that he touched the ball when it was in the air, 2 of which he took for interceptions. Good guy. Now, this old guy, but still does it on a very good defense. Team isn't that great, but hopefully they'll get their stuff around. but he's always around the ball, is London Fletcher. Okay? He had 94 total tackles over the final 8 games. That's amazing. 96 solo, 166 total tackles, 1.5 sacks, 3 forced fumbles, 8 pass defensed, and 2 interceptions. Again, around the ball all the time. I'm going to move to number 7, where I have Derek Johnson of the Kansas City Chiefs, another great guy that will flourish on a team that suffered massive injuries last year to their defense and offense. But Romeo Crennel is there as the head coach, not just the defensive coach, and he can do a lot of things. Derek Johnson has 200 solo tackles, 25 pass defense in the past 2 seasons under Crennel. So I'm quite sure those numbers will get even better. Last year he had 104 solo tackles, 131 total tackles, 2 sacks, 1 forced fumble, 9 pass defense, 2 interceptions. Okay? 2. Touched the ball 11 times, man. Crazy. Then we've got Sean Witherspoon at number 8. He's poised to top his 2011 numbers now that Curtis Lofton is gone, so he's going to get more touches here or more play time. 80 solo tackles, 113 total tackles, 4 sacks, 8 pass defense. So he's on the rise there, ladies and gentlemen, on the rise. We go to number 9, Colin McCarthy. This kid, he'll do well. Okay, he's set to be on a solid 2011 year under Dennis Allen's multiple defense. So he'll be playing all over the place. He had 77 total tackles, 99 total tackles, 5 sacks. And check this out. He hit the ball 14 times. 14 pass defenses. Wish he could have grabbed him. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. Excuse me. I apologize. Wrong stat line. 52 solo tackles, 65 total tackles, 2 forced fumbles, 3 pass defenses, and 1 interception. My next guy, Ronaldo McClain, that guy had 77 tackles, 99 total, 5 sacks, 14 pass defenses, and he's under Dennis Allen's multiple defense. I apologize about that. Gave the wrong information out. But that's what it is. Rolando McClain, outstanding backer. Okay, outstanding. Now we're going to go to DeMarcus Ware, the Dallas Cowboys. DeMarcus is injured, okay? So you got to pay attention to his status. But I have him in there because he's mainly a pass rusher. Again, one of those hybrid linebacker DN types. Right? He had 48 solo, 58 total, 19.5 sacks. 19.5. 2 forced fumbles, 2 pass defense. Ware is still the best linebacker option out there in sack-heavy scoring formats. Now, again, I give 1 point for a sack in my leagues, so that's pretty good. Some people give half a point. Some people give a quarter of a point. I give a full point because you might get a sack strip fumble. You know, you might get a whole bunch of different – you can get a lot from those sacks. Another guy that I feel is on the rise is Pat Anger of the Colts. Now, remember, the Colts changed from a 4-3 to a 3-4. That means a guard might be getting to him a lot quicker than last year. It might happen, but he's on the rise. Anger is one of those guys. He's a little undersized, but he's in a very good – situation where if you put him, he's in the middle, they'll blitz him a lot because he's a better run stopper and blitzer than he is a cover guy. His stat line reads like this: 76 solo, 146 total, 1 sack, 2 pass defense, 2 forced fumbles, 3 pass defense, and 1 interception. Just think about it. Excuse me, think about it. He did that on a bad front 4 defense last year. Even with Dwight Freeney
And if you notice, I didn't have Dwight Freeney in my top 15 defensive linemen. So, let's keep it moving. This guy steps in at middle last year and does an outstanding job for D'Amico Ryans because D'Amico had an injury who is now in Philly. But Brian Cushing, he did well. He proved to be the perfect fit at inside linebacker in Wade Phillips' 3-4 defense. He had 76 solo tackles, 114 total tackles, 4 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, 5 pass defense, and 2 interceptions. The Cush is good. He's no longer smoking Cush, but he's a very good backer to have. If you're looking for someone to be consistent, he's your guy. I have him ranked at number 13. Number 14 is a guy that I said a lot of people jump on because of his name. Now, he has a great stat line. No doubt. Great stat line. But the defense is getting older. Ray Ray's older, but he's still motoring across the field, up and down the field. But Ray Ray, I have at number 14. Toe injury cost him 4 games, but he hasn't shown signs of slowing down. He had 72 solo tackles, 95 total tackles, 2 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, 7 pass defense, and 1 interception. Okay? I think that he's a guy that you can look to and be confident at having a good run. Would he be my first linebacker second? No, he would not be. Closing out my top 15, I'm going to close it with Sean Lee. I hate the Cowboys. I really do. But Sean Lee, and I said DeMarcus Ware, I hate him, but he's a beast. Sean Lee is one of those guys that he did well, but he suffered an injury. He suffered an injury that caused him some interceptions as well as some tackles when he did return. Sean Lee had 69 single or solo tackles, 102 total, 7 pass defense, and 4 interceptions. 4 inside linebacker. Inside linebacker, 4 interceptions. That's amazing, right? Now for some honorable mentions, I'm going to throw this guy in there only because, and I know he's a rookie, but he's a beast. He's a beast. And the problem is he's going to have to compete with James Anderson and John Beeson for some tackles. I'm talking about Luke Kuechly. Okay? He has great numbers. Last year alone in college, again, this is college, but it's okay, he had 102 solo tackles, 191 total tackles, 6 pass defense, 3 interceptions, and one touchdown. Very good kid, very good opportunity, but with those two around him, he's going to have problems getting a lot of touches, okay, or a lot of tackles, because Beeson is back, and as his name says, he's a beast. Another honorable mention I have is D'Amico Ryans. D'Amico needs to stay healthy. If he can stay healthy, D'Amico Ryans is one of the best middle linebackers in the game, bar none. Okay? He needs to stay injury-free. He struggled at a 3-4, but he's going back to a 4-3, where he excelled in his previous years before Wade Phillips got there. And with the talent around him, it's going to be amazing at how well he does with the talent around him. That front forward, Jonathan, Jason Babin, and Trent Cole, corners, Asimois, Dominique Rogers-Cromartie, maybe Asante Samuel. He's got to worry about his other linebackers. That's the only thing. Also, Lawrence Timmons is a guy that did well the year before, but this past year he kind of took a step back on that defense. It's a little older defense. That's why they had to get rid of some folks. He had to play out of position last year as well. He played outside linebacker, which wasn't his best position last year. Inside linebacker is where he excelled at. But he had 63 solo, 88 total, 2 sacks, 5 pass defense, and one interception. All right. Those are my honorable mentions in linebacker core, and I'm going to go to the DBs. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to remember that in individual defensive players, when picking them, you want to get players that give you the most tackles, gives you the most action. Linebackers do that. That's what linebackers do. They give you the most tackles. So if you have to pick IDPs first, get your linebackers first. Then go to your DBs and then your defensive ends. Now, if you have a sack-happy scoring system, by all means, grab you a couple defensive ends first because there aren't that many good ones, and then go get your linebackers because you have a ton of them that are comparable. That's my suggestion. DBs I pretty much leave for last because they don't get that much play unless they're a safety. But let's give you my top 15 DBs in the last part of the show. All right? And again, if you want to chime in real quick, you can dial 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. You can jump in and I'll get you on the air and see what we can do. Number one. Now, this cat has been around for a very long time, should be a Hall of Famer first-time go. He's making the switch from corner to safety, which makes him even more dangerous because when Rod Woodson did it, he made a whole new career out of it. And Charles Woodson, namesake, is doing the same thing. Stat line from last year, 63 solo, 75 total, 2 sacks, 1 forced fumble, 17 pass defense, and 7 interceptions with 1 touchdown at corner. Now, if Charles can make that transition to safety and hawk the field, he can be just as good as Ed Reed at, you know, attacking the ball. I don't see him coming up too many times to make strong hits on the running backs, but he can do it. I know they don't want him to get injured, so, you know, there's a possibility there, but we'll see. Number two might be a surprise to a lot of folks. This guy is strong against the run, but for some reason, quarterbacks like to throw at him. He was thrown at 117 times last year. I'm talking about Charles Tillman of the Bears. He had 82 solo tackles, 99 total tackles, 1 sack, 4 forced fumbles, 12 pass defense, 3 interceptions, and 2 touchdowns. Now, you might say, why don't I have McCarthy or somebody else like that up there at number 2? Because they like to throw on Tillman. He has more opportunities to make plays on the ball as well as tackles. That's why I have him at number 2. That's the only reason why I have him. Tillman is a good defensive back. Good. But since they throw on him a lot, he has many opportunities. Okay? You might disagree with me, and I understand. Might not be the best corner in the land, but people like to throw on him, and he makes plays on him. Number 3, another safety. Again, I told you I like safeties. They get more play than your corners. I have George Wilson of the Bills. He's a former wide receiver that has ball skills. All right? 76 solo tackles, 104 total tackles, 2 forced fumbles, 6 pass defense, 4 interceptions. Former receiver playing DB, so you know he knows how to get to the ball. Another guy that is on the rise, in my opinion, is a safety, Cam Chancellor of the Seattle Seahawks. Now, he had a couple injuries last year. He had a couple. But he did well. He did very well. And he does come down in the box to play linebacker sometimes, which is a very good advantage if you're looking for a DB that can play back at corner or back in the deep middle and come up and get tackles from the linebacker position. It's kind of good. Last year, 73, 94, 1 sack, 2 forced fumbles, 13 pass defense, 4 interceptions. one of my all-time favorites is coming in at number five because he was a Howard University graduate out of D.C. Get a little long in the tooth, but he's still there, still doing his thing. Talking about Antoine Buffet. Not a true in the box tackler, but plenty of runners evade Indy's front seven. Excuse me. So he has plenty of opportunities to make tackles in the passing game as well as the run game. He had 80 total tackles, 139 total tackles, two forced fumbles, seven pass defense. So if you're looking for just wanting to give you tackles, not really interceptions or anything like that, you can get Buffet. But I like Cam Chancellor over him because he comes out in the box sometimes and he can make tackles that way. So that's part of my reasoning for putting him above Antoine. Now, this kid right here stepped up big time last year. Jason McCourty out of Tennessee. He supports the run and will be targeted often as Tennessee's number one cornerback. Now, I grabbed him off of waivers last year, and I'm quite sure he won't be there this year, but he's a top cornerback. And I believe I was in an auction league. I tried to get him, but I ran out of money, so I couldn't grab him. But he went late. I put him up there for $1, hoping I would get him, but somebody had more money. They bid like $4 or $5, and they grabbed him. But he's a guy that I would target because he's on the Tennessee Titans. They had a great year last year, and he's at number one, and they still throw him. He had 83 solo tackles, 103 total tackles, one sack, one forced fumble, 13 pass defense, and two interceptions. Pretty good, okay? Pretty good. Now, this kid, you might say, why am I putting him here? And I'll tell you why. I'm putting him here because the defense is anemic, and Charles Woodson moved from corner to safety, and he becomes their number one corner. And I'm talking about Tremont Williams of the Packers. He's an aggressive corner, and he should be among the league leaders in picks and pass defense. Check out his stat line from last year. 33 solo, 64 total, 22 pass defense, 4 interceptions, 1 touchdown. 22 times he hit the ball. 26 times he had his hands on the ball, 4 of which he had interceptions and 1 touchdown. Moving to the number one D-back, with Charles over top, can be a good advantage in a very bad Packers defense. Take a look at him. Might be a good player for you. I like him because of the situation he's in. Not because he's a great corner, but because of the situation he's in. Okay, we got 5 minutes, about 65 minutes left in the show. We're going to go into overtime just a bit, because I'm on number 7 of my DBs and I've got a little bit more to go, but we'll get to it, okay? I'm going to take you to a good guy here. Now, he was a very good DB for Philly, who is now the starter in a blitz-happy Rams scheme. I'm talking about Quentin Michael. Very good guy. Very good, reliable guy. I would try to get him late, but not too late. Last year, he had 75 solo, 91 total, 1 sack, 5 forced fumbles, 5 pass defense, and 2 interceptions. On that defense, he's going to have plenty of opportunities to do something as far as interceptions, tackles, pass defense. St. Louis isn't the best defense, but with him and a guy I don't have in my top 15, which probably could be there, is, I'm not going to mention his name because I don't have him up here. I don't want to confuse anybody. But he played for the Titans last year, and he's now with the Rams, and I think you know what I'm talking about. Let's move down to a guy who I think is a sleeper. I think he's a sleeper, okay? He's back as a starter, right? He's back as a starter. We're talking about Altron Vernon of the Titans, okay? He's back as a starter there. So his number should go up, especially the teams decide not to throw against Jason McCourtney. He had 42 solo tackles, 47 total tackles, 8 pass defense, and 1 interception. Very good, dependable guy. And I think he's a sleeper, but I have him ranked number 9. And this guy right here, who I have listed, is he did very well last year. Came out very strong last year, only because of the defense was kind of porous last year, and the team was porous last year. Is he this low? I'm talking about Eric Weddle. Okay, his tackle numbers will suffer as he plays more of a center field role for the Chargers. But last year he had 66 solo, 84 total, 11 pass defense, and 7 interceptions as a safety. 7 interceptions. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. I'm just telling you. Move to number 11. I have Tyvon Branch, who was the franchise player for the Raiders this past year. Branch is steady in the box tackler, but brings little else to the table. But he will bring you tackles. 78 solo, 106 total, 1 sack, 4 pass defense, and 1 interception. Again, I don't put a premium on defensive backs unless they can bring me high tackle totals. And he's one of those guys. He, Bethea, Wilson, McCourtney, even though McCourtney's a corner, but I'm looking for tackles when I'm picking my my DBs. I'm not going to jump too high on this guy, but I love him because he's a Redskin. And I'm talking about D'Angelo Hall. He's very aggressive, and he loves to attack the ball. Okay, he's got a lot of playmakers around him to help him out. But the Skins are experimenting with him at safety as well. He'll come in from time to time and be safety. But 65 solo tackles, 90 total tackles, 1 forced fumble, 16 pass defended, and 3 interceptions. He was also the Pro Bowl MVP year before last. That's saying something. But I have him there. Then I have Devin McCourty of the Patriots. They're going to play more zone. So he'll be, I think he'll have Asante Samuel numbers when Asante was in New England. So I look for him to do well. I'm going to finish up the rest of the list, but we're about to go off live there. You're going to catch us in the archive to finish up my top 15 with some honorable mentions. But every Sunday, the master plan is at 10 a.m., so you'll enjoy him. He'll be back next Sunday, and you never know what he's going to talk about. He's always going to play some type of music. Also on Tuesdays, except for this Tuesday, we won't have Kim Fun on this Tuesday, but Compassion Bikini, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. Then on Thursdays, we have Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew Show, FSP Crew Show, with Jerry, Jeff, and Black, the bookie. You never know what they're going to talk about. They normally have a guest, so you'll have that to look forward to. Then Friday, we have Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor with No Chaser. That show is pretty much a free-for-all. Right now, they're on politics, so you can catch that. And, oh, boy, he's conservative, and Jerry is liberal, so fireworks do fly. Then on Saturdays, you have Fantasy Sports and Politics, which I'm the host of, along with JT. Coming in as my co-host, and we talk about everything. We do a weekend sports review, mainly fantasy football. But you can enjoy that, and trust me, we have a lot of fun on all of our shows. You can catch us in the archive. You can catch us on iTunes. All you got to do is get our RSS feed, put it in your iTunes, and you'll get every program that we've ever done. Trust me, we've got a lot. But thank you for listening to The Master Plan, and we'll see you next Sunday. I'm about to go into overtime. Right about now. All right. I left off on Devin McCourtney, who had 63 solo tackles and 85 total tackles, 13 pass defense, and 2 interceptions. He's going to be sitting more, so just be cautious of that. What I mean by sitting is he'll be in more of a zone-style defense, okay? So it's going to be a little different for him. Let's go to Mark Barron, who is a rookie for the Buccaneers, but the kid, you know, is pretty good. Pretty good, all right, coming out of Alabama. I think he's going to have a great year down there with with Rondae Barber beside him, schooling him. I think he'll be pretty daggone good. Last year he had 43 solo tackles, 68 total, one sack, five pass defense, and two interceptions. Now, I'm putting him over Jarius Byrd and Eric Berry only because Eric Berry's coming off an injury. I'm high on Eric Berry. Matter of fact, he's my next player. In that Romeo Crennel defense. The kid is off the chain. I'm telling you, even though he's coming off the ACL injury, he will do monster numbers. If you can, grab him late. Grab him late. But that's my number 14 guy. My number 15 guy is a corner at Ladarius Webb of the Ravens. He benefited from being an attack-style cornerback. Teams shouldn't throw on his side, but they will because they know Ed Reed is covering the other side at safety. So look for him to have another big year. Last year, 54 solo, 67 total, one sack, one forced fumble, and get this, 20 pass defense with five interceptions and one touchdown. It's a big stat line for a corner. Very good stat line for a corner. Okay, my honorable mention, and only because I don't like this team's chances this year, and they use this guy a lot in different places, is Patrick Peterson. Patrick says he's going to be the best DB this year. He's going to grab the most interceptions in history or something like that this year. That's very ambitious. I have an honorable mention only because they don't have to throw at him. They can throw on the other side, and he won't have good numbers. He'll get his numbers in the return game, possible kickoff returns and punt returns. But because he is that good of a DB, they're not going to throw on his side. You notice I didn't put any of the Eagles' corners in there. Why? They're not going to throw on Asamoah. They might throw on Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. They might throw on Asante Samuel. But for the most part, folks are going to try to run on the Philadelphia Eagles. They're going to try to run on them because they know their linebackers are weak. And if they do throw, it's going to be to the tight ends and the running backs. Receivers, if you got somebody playing the Eagles secondary in your fantasy week, unless they're a mega, mega Tron or Andre Johnson or Roddy White, Julio Jones, one of them, don't bank on getting any numbers. Don't bank on it. It's not going to happen. Asamoah is a true lockdown corner. So is Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. And Asante Samuel is pretty good in zone coverage. Man-to-man, you probably beat him. But that's it. That's why I'm saying Patrick Peterson is an honorable mention. Along with those other guys, because teams will not throw their way. They won't. Trust me. They won't do it. But anyway, that's going to wrap up the IDPs from SSP. Hit on the master plan. I hope you enjoyed it. We are, again, here live. Every Sunday, 1 p.m. I'm thinking about FSP show. The Master Plan is live every Sunday, 10 a.m. With Jerry ATM Taylor, JT, call him whatever you want. I call him ATM because he pays me a lot from our bets. But he's also known as the Master, and he has a plan. Tuesdays, you have Kim Fun. She's doing her thing with Compassion Bikini, reaching children and women and being very, very compassionate and asking you, what is your compassion? What do you find compassion in and in doing? On Thursdays, we have FSP Crew Show with Jeff, Jerry, and Black, usually having a guest talking about football and college football and sports in general. Friday, No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor. Again, the show is, as it says, No Chaser. It's straight and raw. Right now they're talking about politics leading up to the election. They'll also talk about some sports, but the main go-for-the-throat topics will be politics. Then on Saturday, you have FSP, Fantasy Sports and Politics, where I am the host with JT coming in, co-hosting with me, where we do a weekend review of the sporting world, and we mainly talk about fantasy football and fantasy sports in general. But it's pretty much a weekend review, and we have a lot of fun on all of our shows. I want to thank you all for listening and liking our programs, and we appreciate it. I'm going to take you out with Jerry's theme, since he likes this, and we're going to do it like this. Here we go.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Let's go. Ain't no room for hesitation up in here. It's time to leave it on the field, because it's game time. It's time to make your hard work pay off. Make your mom and dad proud. Make your opponent pay the price. It's time to step up and get it done, son. You go hard or you go home. From the first whistle to the last, bring it all day, every play. Because you know your boys are going to put on the line for you. They got your back, so you better have theirs. This is about the team. It's about pride. It's about who's the hungriest. So what's it going to be, man? You going to leave it on the field, or you going to leave it inside? You going to leave it or something in your tank? Or you going to do what champions do? Leave nothing. Leave nothing. Leave nothing.